T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're welcome back in. We are live, final hour here at Smoke on the Water. Two quick golf things. Are they twin brothers from Bowling Springs? They were in the U.S. Amateur.
No, they're 2 years apart. Trevor Phillips and Trent Phillips. They're both Bowling Springs alums. Trevor actually played. He's 20. He, as a sophomore, for an elite program at Georgia. He played every tournament for the Bulldogs last year, finished second in stroke average, and his younger brother Trent will be joining him in a couple of weeks on the Georgia golf team. But both of them were able to advance to match play at the U.S. Amateur at Pebble Beach, and they made it through the round of 64, but both were eliminated today in the round of 32. So they're both done, but a great experience. And then, ironically,
you got to share that story about 63 of the 64 slots.
Oh, that's a good. Yep. Well, ironically, just real quick, the Phillips brothers. Now, Trevor, I think, would obviously retain his spot in the starting lineup. Now, could Trent go right in there and break into the starting lineup? Who knows? But here they are. They're out there at Pebble Beach. They actually have their mom, their dad, a girlfriend with them, and a younger brother. So it was a family affair. But they'll come home August 31st. The Georgia Bulldogs open up their golf season at the Carmel Cup at Pebble Beach Golf Lake. So they're living the life, Sturge. They get to go right back there and play another golf tournament at Pebble in a few weeks.
So you were mentioning top 64 advance. So what, two guys bogey the final hole?
Right. So, you know, they play at the U.S. Amateur. They play two rounds. They play two rounds, 36 holes of stroke play, top 64 advance for the brackets for the match play portion. And so they come down to the last two golfers on the golf course. The last two out there, there's 65 guys at plus three or better or lower. So if both guys, you know, par that hole, then you're going to have like a small playoff for the final spot. Instead, both guys bogey it. So all of a sudden, plus three, there's 63 now at three or better. All of a sudden, they could all breathe easy. They're in. And then the other two guys drop back, and it formed a 24-man playoff for the 64th and final spot, which sounds like it couldn't get any crazier. Well, they played the par 3 17th out there for the first playoff hole. Two guys birdied it. So they eliminated 22 of the 24 on the very first playoff hole. And then if it wasn't already strange enough, they go on to the 18th, the par 5, the now mano a mano, and one guy wins it to advance with a bogey as the other guy doubles the second playoff hole. So, what a wacky finish.
That, you stop and think of it. I'm doing the math. I bet they probably did it in threesomes, all right? So there's eight groups of 20. You know, that makes 24. Let me make sure I do my Alabama. So 8 times 3 is 24.
I think they did it like every 5 minutes or something. I don't know if they drew it out of a hat. I didn't read that far into it. But when you looked at it, when I was trying to follow it, because now I'm like, I'm kind of interested. Is this thing going to take a day and a half to decide this playoff? And I think how they just did it, Sturge, they probably drew out of a hat, and you either got one or you got 24 or 18, and they said, okay, number one tees off at 7 o'clock, and, you know, if you get the second slot, you're teeing off at 7:06, and they just hit into this par.
You're taking it out.
It would have been 15 minutes. Yeah. They would have had four because they would have gone on and putted and then come back. So they probably played six foursomes and did it that way.
That's pretty. All right, real quickly, one last Tiger or one last golf thing, and then we'll get into some other things. Obviously, as much as we said Tiger had a good tournament last Sunday in wrapping up the PGA Championship and finishing second, golf's a funny game. It's ebb and flow. You know, sometimes you play well, other times you don't. You know, when you get hot, you'll go on like a 5 or 6 week binge where you play really, really well. So Tiger obviously did not play well at Bridgestone. But it turned out on the final day, talking about that guy, you know, we were talking about why I like the Little League World Series, Army, Navy and some stuff, haven't dealt with that guy. Even Tiger has to deal with that guy from time to time. Turned out he had a heckler in the in that round, and apparently it started getting a little bit personal. So his caddy said he walked over, and he asked the guy, Tiger's caddy, Joe LaCava. He said, I walked over and I said, hey, listen, bud, what do I got to do to get you out of here? everyone's having a good time. Everyone's pulling for Tiger. If you don't like the guy, that's one thing. But you don't need to be yelling at my guy and screaming that kind of negative stuff. And he keeps on going on. So he finally walks up to him and he goes, ask him what his name is. He gives him a cut. There's about. He goes, what do I got to do to get you to leave? He goes, give me the $25 that I paid for this badge for today. And somebody caught a picture of Tiger's caddy actually handing over a 20 and a 5 to this guy. Well, of course, that guy, that's not good enough. He walks like 20 yards away, and he starts yelling more stuff. And at that point, Tiger's caddy, Joe LaCava, he went to go confront the guy mano-a-mano, man-to-man. And fortunately, the police got involved and kind of took him away. He goes, all of a sudden, I look over my shoulder, and there's Tiger in the – well, he wasn't in the fairway that day, but he was somewhere off waiting for him to show up with his yardage book so he could figure out what to hit. So that's probably a $25 well spent. I mean, what would you do with that $25 that you got from Tiger's caddy?
That's going right in the frame. And, you know, like you said, there's probably –
I don't know. This guy probably going to go order a couple of pizzas, you know, $5 pizzas or something like that.
Oh, it sounds like he's headed back to the Bloody Mary, Tito's Bloody Mary tent over there or something, yeah.
Yeah, no, you mean the Dixie Vodka Bloody
Dixie
Mary
Dixie Vodka Bloody Mary tent.
Right, yes. Diesel? Right, Diesel? See if he's paying any attention back there. So, but I thought you hit the nail on the woods. What would have happened with Tiger's caddy about a decade, 14 years ago?
Stevie Williams?
There'd have been a brawl in the course, man.
It wouldn't have been what would it take to get you to leave. It would have been like, how do you want to leave?
You want to leave one black eye, two black eyes, standing up, or laying down. But either way, it's not going to end pleasantly.
You're leaving, exactly. Stevie Williams was an enforcer out there, you know, for
what?
Sure.
I wonder at times, smoke on the water, what – Greenville's got a pretty good happy hour. That would be a pretty good thing to come down here and get to heckle me and get $25 out of it. You can make that go a long, long way, no doubt about it. All right, so that was fun. And, yes, it was 3 years ago today. You see the Little League World Series up here on the television at Williamsport, and, of course, the Wyndham Championship on the other TVs where we saw history made today with a 59. But speaking of history, unwritten baseball rules. Do you like this stuff or not? They're historical, but the one thing, I don't know where to go download the actual real rule book of unwritten baseball rules. And number two, do they evolve over the course of time like society needs to?
I don't disagree. And I didn't even know there was this many of them. You handed me a sheet. I didn't know there was I thought there was
three.
Oh,
this is like 25. Apparently there's hundreds of them now.
There's an unwritten rule book. But I'll tell you what, I don't disagree with all of them. And I think some of them you probably don't want to do. But, no, I'm not a big fan of the unwritten. You don't do this. You don't do that. And every sport has them. It seems like baseball has them in abundance, though. It's like no other sport. Every sport has their things you don't do and into the little, you know, it's not in the rule book, but baseball just seems to have tons of them.
But, all right, so, I want to go through a couple of this. First of all, the one I agree with is don't talk about a no-hitter in progress.
See, I'm all for that one.
All right, because as soon as I say something, Bama looks good today, they fumbled three drives in a row. All right, or things of that nature. Martin. By the way, we can confirm Ronald Acuna is going to be in the lineup tonight for the Atlanta Braves against the Colorado Rockies, final four-game set of this homestand.
Now, if I'm announcing a game and I say Mark Sturgis steps to the free throw line, he's got a streak of 88 in a row going. The next one's coming off the rim.
Yep, so I can buy that one. Now, you know what? I have a job. If it's a blowout in a baseball game, that's when you start getting some of the bench players in, correct? And you know, baseball's a little different. You don't do mass substitutions or this. It's a player here, a play there, situational, if you will. But if I get my opportunity and you're not doing your job, why can't I steal a base?
I'm torn in this one a little bit. Well, there's 2 points here. Don't steal a base when greatly ahead. Don't steal a base when greatly behind. If you're up 10-2 in the eighth, and I hit a single, I'm not totally against it, but it's just kind of, if I'm up, then it's like going,
it's like, a little kick and dirt in the face.
Yes, it's a little kick and dirt in the face. But if I'm down 11-0 and it's the seventh and I get a man on first, first of all, why would you steal? Because you need all the base runners you can get. So from a strategic standpoint, it's dumb. But if they're just going to give you the steal, if the first baseman's going to play off, you've taken the base.
Also, what's one thing at times that we need if you're a professional player? You need some stats. So that's why I always say, there may be a little wiggle room when it comes to that one. Don't steal third with two outs. Now, that's more practicality and not an unwritten rule, correct?
I would think so. I didn't know that was an unwritten rule.
Right.
I would just think the law of averages are the numbers. But, no, I don't care if you're way up, way behind, tie game, short lead, short deficit.
Is that the fact that most times if you're sitting on second and somebody has a single, you're going to score unless it's a line drive?
I guess that's what they base that on. Here's where I'm a little confused at. Is it an unwritten rule? Does this mean it's an unwritten rule as far as what the manager would do, or it's an unwritten rule to where, you're insulting the other team if you try to steal third? That's where I'm a little confused on what exactly these unwritten rules are, what they're looking at, what they're going after here.
All right. We'll open up the phone lines at 844-GSP. Any of your unwritten rules? Because a couple of the next one actually kind of affect what took place last night at SunTrust Park, if you will. Again, Ronald Acuna, he has announced he will be in the lineup tonight. Please, please don't go on about an 0-for-10 streak here. Because if that happens, if next Sunday, I think the Braves have a four-game set in Miami left. If Acuna, cools off and goes real, cold, eight games without homering, whatever, next year, whether Urania is with the Marlins or not, there will be pitchforks and fires and everything else waiting outside the Marlins team hotel.
Oh, they'll find out what triple or double A team he's with, Sturge. And we got to travel to Arizona. Road trip. We're going to find this guy.
Yep.
I'm not saying fine. I'm just saying just to make him uncomfortable.
Hey, listen, see if you can't get him to charge up into the stands and do something stupid, you know what I mean? We got you so worried, you're going to end up looking like the fool when all this is said and done. All right, we're live here at Smoke on the Water here in downtown Greenville. Great happy hour going on. Of course, that's Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. So, phone lines are open at 844-GSP-ESPN. You can give us a call. We'll continue going through these unwritten rules. Also, I'm going to go ahead and go on the record and give you my three Heisman votes. Who I'm voting for as we head into the season. Remember, it's not where you begin, it's where you end. My Twitter timeline is correct, and I'm not 100% it is, because I can't think Major League Baseball would be this stupid this quick. Six-game suspension for Urania. Now, that was on one tweet. That would be – no, Jose Rosania will receive a six-game suspension. That is complete and total garbage by Major League Baseball. Why? You juggle your rotation correctly, he doesn't really miss a start there. What did you do? What is the penalty there to stop somebody from doing this next time, Boynton?
There is none. I'm just shocked that they'll legislate collisions at home plate and second base out of the game, but they're not going to legislate the bean ball out of the game. And again, I don't know. The only problem I had, Sturge, as we mentioned earlier, I don't know as far as the guidelines go, because there's no proof. If the guy says he's innocent, you can't just slam them all of a sudden out of the blue with a 40-game suspension unless they start setting up some new way to say, right, we're going to have a panel of 2-3 determine whether they vote, and we vote that we think this guy beat him intentionally. It's a 40-game suspension,
right,
out.
I will say this much. Now, last night when I did not feel satisfied with the Braves' response, once I had woken up this morning and emotions were gone, I was, more tempered by the fact that five guys aren't suspended five games after this evolved into about three brawls. After seeing a six-game suspension, now I wish we'd have had some guys get one right in the ear hole. Right in the ear hole. You might as well have gotten it back last night. Now, or maybe not even throwing at somebody. What about if there was a double play ball? And, of course, I was at dinner for my wife's birthday. I didn't get to see every play of the ball game. But going to the second baseman or the shortstop trying to turn a double play and make their life a living hell. You know what I mean? You don't always have to hit somebody in retaliation when it comes to getting even with them.
That's a great point. You could make a hard slide into first base even, just that you're trying to make a
that
point.
That is total garbage because now he's got the right to appeal that down to a three.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he'll get lower. They're going to make him take the one. But it's essentially a one-game suspension.
That's garbage. That's Major League Baseball garbage, in my opinion, because we were talking about the unwritten rules of baseball. If a pitcher hits a teammate, hit one of theirs. Brace proved last night maybe that's not the case. I also think, first of all, had Snicker not gotten thrown – if Bobby Cox had been the coach of the Braves, we would have seen World War III take place last night. Walt Weiss is a nice guy. I don't think any of us played shortstop for the A's and all. He's a nice guy. Maybe that's not in his nature, but now I say after a six-game suspension, absolutely, you should have drilled one of their teammates last night.
Well, again, they're asking for it. They're asking for this kind of stuff. And what's going to happen, Sturge, is some guy – Let's say that pitcher comes up the next time. Let's say they face the Braves again, and he comes up and he takes a 95 mile an hour fastball on the first pitch off the eye socket, shatters his eye socket and ends his career. Then maybe it's gonna take something like that where you're 99% sure it's in retaliation. The pitch gets away, even if they were trying to drill the guy in the back. Someone's finally gonna get hurt. Now those guys put their not lives at risk, but careers at risk. Every time they go up, they're facing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, although I know the helmets are better now with the ear flaps and more protective. The guys get beamed all the time, and they're covered, and they come back from it. But it seems like it's going to take an injury for baseball to try to put an end to this, ages-long tradition.
Don't admire home run. I think that depends under the circumstance. That kid last week had one of the rarest feats in baseball history, a walk-off grand slam. That was pure excitement. That was not showing up the other team. It wasn't admiring his home run. It was a guy that had bounced back and forth between AAA and Major League in the major leagues, having a moment.
Right.
It wasn't about showing up the other team. That's I buy that at time. Don't sit there but you can show emotion when you've done something really, really well. In the NFL, what do they allow you to do? They allow you to spike the ball when you have a touchdown. You can admire home run. Don't just sit there and be a jackass about it.
The other thing I think too, if you hit a ball that just barely clears the fence in the fourth inning of a 1-1 game, then yeah, you don't want to do the bat flip and all that. I hate to use Judge as an example, but or Stanton, the two Yankee dudes. To me too, if you hit one 540 feet, just a bomb out of, you have every right to sit there, kind of slowly walk and watch every last inch of that ball go out of the park. So there's certain things if you do it. And I don't care. The pitcher can get mad all he wants. That wasn't just a normal home run you gave up there. You gave up one that needs to be admired by the guys whose handiwork it was.
I did not know this was an unwritten rule of baseball. Don't step on the pitcher's mound.
I did know that.
All right.
And you'll see that generally when a guy's thrown out at second and he's running back toward the dugout, because I think A-Rod, I don't know if it was Yankee Red Sox, it could have been with one of the teams.
It was the A's and Yankees, Dallas Braden, by the way, Landon Powell, the head baseball coach at North Greenville University, former Gamecock, caught Dallas Braden's perfect game.
Yep. Oh, it was a perfect game. Yeah. I thought it was a no-hitter.
Yeah, he was. Landon was in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame for a little while. Well, his catcher's mitt.
Oh, that's really cool. But yeah, I knew that. That's a no-no. And part of that is, I think it's mostly a respect thing, but it's also those pitchers. They're particular. They like to have kind of everything the way they want it.
Mental.
But again, that's their territory. But it is their territory too. There's plenty of room for you to go around the mound.
I'm sorry if I'm not paying attention. You can get ticked off that I walked across the pitcher's mound. All right, play for the win on the road and the tie at home. I don't like that. You play to win the game. But I get it. You get more friendly bounces at home. Number two, the main thing at home you get to do is you get to bat last.
Right, and to me, it just depends on the matchups. Who are you, the better team? I think there's so many factors. And again, to me, is that like an unwritten? I guess. And again, I look at unwritten rules as more of the players policing themselves. That's
right.
What I always think of the unwritten rules.
Here's one that I agree with most of the time. Don't bunt to break up a no hitter. All right. However, if it's 1-0 and they're not paying attention, I'm bunting. I'm trying to get on base any way possible
Absolutely.
To help my team win that ball game. Now, if it's 9-0 and it's the seventh inning, don't be go up there and try to swing. But
I agree. I agree with you 100% across the board on that one.
All right. Take a strike when behind. All right.
No. I mean, to me, you go up there, and if this guy's groove, if the scouting report on him or what you've seen is, and he's been getting ahead of hitters, and he's going to just try to get ahead of you, and you know a fastball's coming. I never agree with that. I think if you see your pitch, you take a whack.
Pitchers that are pulled from the game must stay in the dugout. That might not always be a good thing because the pitcher might not agree with being pulled, or he was so bad he maybe just needs to go to the shower and get it over with.
That's it. Who even knows if he's in the dugout? I mean, it's like except for his teammates. No, I don't put any credence in that.
Let the center fielder get the ball if he can. Talking about, you know, it's always the center fielder's ball.
If he's coming a lot further than the I understand what they're saying. Like, he's usually your center fielder is your best fielder as part of that. Secondly, usually you're going to think he has the best angle. If they're talking about a ball hitting in the gap here, but no, I don't know. I mean, it's you never know. You might have an all-star right fielder and a rookie playing center field. I mean,
relievers go easy on other relievers when they're batting.
No.
Yeah, get out. Don't have a power hitter bunt. What if the situation calls for, you know, that one time that you got to get a guy over? You know what I mean? Don't have the power hitter bunt.
Generally, it's a no-no, and I think they probably wouldn't opt if you get your best guy in it to go. It kind of depends on the score of the game. If you've got runners at first and second, you've got another couple other good hitters up behind him, and he can bunt. A lot of power guys aren't very good bunters, as we know. Third, so.
All right, final two on this list. Don't go against the percentages. There's a lot of truth in that sometimes, but if it's like, you know, like you said, Sturge steps up to the line, makes 88 in a row, I'm probably going to go put money right then that that's the one he's going to miss. You know, so you get that far into a streak, sooner or later it's going to come to an end.
Right, and we see it kind of wacky sometimes where I think it was Tony La Russa, notorious. I think Ray Tanner for USC had a little bit of this to where it was all about you might have a guy that came in and he's five batters in, five batters out, man, looking great, but we got the lefty upon lefty, yep. So you take him out. So it's just I like managers that kind of, you know, handle a game more by the gut. You know, you take what's given to you as far as numbers and things, and you don't want to do anything stupid. But some of these things where every other pitcher and batter, if a guy's in a groove, man, let him throw. He's a major league pitcher or he's a major college pitcher.
You pay him to get the guy out. Let him do his freaking job.
Exactly.
All right.
And if he looks good throwing it, let him stay.
If we haven't hit on any and you're going, hey, Sturge, what about this one? 844-GSP-ESPN. Remember, tomorrow is the last day of our free cash stash contest brought to you by Carolina Coaches. 12 times a day, we give out a keyword. You can text in to 72881. The 6 p.m. word is land, L-A-N-D, land. Probably the greatest things ever that the Pilgrims saw in their lifetime was land when they got off those three ships after about 4 months out there. You can text that into 72881. Tomorrow, the final time, remember, they'll start at 6 in the 6 a.m. hour, and we'll end in the 6 p.m. hour, and, of course, we'll do it again before the year is out. Don't forget, you can follow Eric Boynton on Twitter at Eric J. Boynton, me at Sturgis Sports, Diesel at Diesel on Radio, and, of course, at ESPN Upstate, our Facebook page. And make sure, if you want to take us with us on the road as football season's coming up, download the radio.com app to your telephone. Just search ESPN Upstate. You can save it as a favorite, just like you do on your laptop or you know, on the stereo on your car, but you can hear us anywhere. It is actually pretty cool. So, again, that 6 p.m. keyword is land. We will come back. We will give our three front runners, if you will. If I had to fill out a vote right now for the Heisman Trophy, how would it go? We'll talk about that when we come back, and, again, we'll take your phone calls as well. You know, things are cyclical in life, and just like sports, things can be cyclical. You know, I go back to, say, you know, mid-90s. you had a favorite Heisman Trophy front runner every year, and he had to really screw up not to win it. You know what I mean? Here recently, we've seen guys, you know, blow out like a Johnny Manziel. You know what I mean? It's not the case as it always is. But I do think there are a couple of guys that might be favorites right now, but – my question is it going to be the year of the running back or the year of the quarterback? I'm sorry, there's not a defensive lineman, linebacker, defensive back, anybody along those lines I think is going to get in on the race. So most years it's the best quarterback, the Johnny Unitas Award. However, the running game has reemerged here in the last 5 to 7 years when it comes to the Heisman Trophy.
It hasn't. I mean, it's reemerged. We've seen that even kind of translate over to the NFL as well, Sturge, where, you know, running back was becoming a forgotten position. You know, not, oh, you don't take a running back in the first round, and now you're seeing the Zeke Elliotts and some other guys that are been taken high up, Saquon Barkley, obviously, and now it seems to be coming back to the forefront. I'm looking at the list here. I know that we're going to high-powered offenses and all that, and it seems like running backs emerged. I like the running back class this year more than the quarterbacks. Just kind of looking
at
the.
I do, too.
I think Bryce Love is your clear, and again, I don't know if you want to get down this. Each of our
go ahead. We'll start.
Who's
your favorite?
I think Bryce Love is the clear-cut favorite. I don't think it's close. I mean, he kind of had his hands on the award last year. I mean, he plays in a great system out there. Part of what hurts him, I think, is a little bit of the West Coast bias. I mean, you know, he plays so late at night that maybe a lot of the voters or even just the general public, he doesn't garner some of the buzz. But to me, he comes in as the front runner, so the buzz is there. And I'm a little surprised he came back to school. He seems like a guy that wanted his degree. He's got higher academic, aspirations. So, in fact, I don't know if you saw it caused a stink when he didn't show up for his media day, instead was in class or taking a test, and he fell under some heat. Dennis Dodd was a guy that fired away at him from CBS saying he hurt his Heisman chances. But to me, Bryce Love, it's ridiculous.
I would normally agree with you because he almost had 2,000 yards rushing. Again, he came back for his senior year, but I'm not sure the guys around him are as good as what Jonathan Taylor has at Wisconsin. All 5 offensive linemen coming back. He had a big year last year as well.
Second guy after Love. Yeah.
All right. So again, I've got Jonathan Taylor as a favorite because first of all, I like Paul Christ. I've interviewed him a couple times when he was at Pitt the whole 1 year. But again, 5 veteran offensive linemen. They're going to be able to cut some holes for Jonathan Taylor. He should be able to take advantage of it. All right. Number 2 on my list. I'll go first.
All right.
I've got Will Grier, the quarterback from West Virginia. Why? What's one thing that we know about the Big 12?
Oh, they're going to throw for a ton of yards and score a ton of points.
And he's probably, and what you said, it's not a great quarterback class that we know of right now. He may be the best, plus he has a hell of a weapon out there with David Sills at wide receiver. I'm kind of waiting for Oklahoma. I mean, I'm not talking to go 8-4, but maybe back off to 10-2 or 9-3 this year because Kyler Murray, you know, he says he wants to play baseball or play football, but, you know, he was the number 7 draft pick in the Major League Baseball draft.
Sure.
That he's going to want to play baseball the first time until he gets his face drilled in the turf. And then, you know, we've seen it before. You might start protecting yourself moving forward.
Right, exactly. And I like your pick there. I actually had, again, I think it's going to be the year of the running back. I actually initially had J.K. Dobbins. I just figure you can never hurt putting in a Ohio State running back. He had over 1,400 yards last year. I think it was a Buckeyes freshman record. So it never hurts to pick a Buckeye running back. But at the last minute, I scratched him. I'm going to go Trace McSorley. I mean, Penn State, I mean, he's a guy that put up some big numbers, kind of took a back seat to Saquon Barkley, although Barkley did catch some balls and maybe help him pad his numbers a little bit. But I think now this is McSorley's team. It's no longer Barkley's team. And here's a veteran guy, smart coach in James Franklin. I think this could be the year. If there's a quarterback that's going to win it, I like Trace McSorley as my favorite, although I don't disagree at all with what you said about Grier and the silly numbers he might be able to put up.
Well, here's the thing. I kind of copped out with my 3rd pick, all right? Because I want to see, as we get about a month, is it going to be the year of the quarterback or the year of the running back? So I chose one of each for number 3. And I had Bryce Love, and I had Trace McSorley.
Okay.
All right, because, again, Trace is might be the best quarterback coming back. But he lost a huge weapon in Saquon. But that now allows you to make up in the passing game this year. And if they can make a run to a Big Ten championship, because this is probably the deepest I've ever seen the Big Ten. When you talk about Ohio State, you talk about Penn State, you talk about Wisconsin. Team not to turn your head on this year, Michigan State. Oh, yeah, some dude named Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Whoever wins the Big Ten this year will have earned it.
Let me – oh, exactly. Yes, and it's going to be a more hard fought. It's a much better conference, and like you said, they just the style of play lends itself. I mean, Drew Locke is another guy. Missouri's going to put up some numbers, but they're going to play tough defenses, and they're also probably going to be 500.
I mean, I was going to say 7-5 doesn't win you a Heisman
Trophy.
That's
going to have to be a tiebreaker. Let me ask you this, Sturge, going off the map here just a little bit. If you could pick one of three to possibly, let's say, midway through the season, sneaks into the, I don't know about the front-running conversation, but when you start seeing these top 10 lists come out, you had to pick one guy that all of a sudden maybe sneaks into the eighth or ninth spot, having it off to a good start. Who would it be? Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence, or Jake Bentley? One of those three guys. I'll wait for you. I've got an answer there. I
still think it would be Kelly Bryant, and I'll tell you why. Number one, Clemson's going to win football games.
Right.
Number two, I heard he had the best day today that he's had. And number three, he can do – people forget he actually had some pretty decent games throwing the ball last year. We kind of look at him as a running quarterback, which he is. But that's my point. He can put up numbers on both sides of the statistics. Now, if South Carolina upsets Georgia and Williams-Brice in week number two and Bentley goes off, of course, he's going to go in there. Because I'm telling you, the Gamecocks can get by Georgia there and Williams-Brice. Watch out for what they could do this year.
All bets are off. Right. All bets are – see, I disagree with you on that. I just think Trevor Lawrence is going to play a chunk this year. I think Kelly Bryant, the defense is going to be so dominant that he's going to be out of game. So, and we all know this trophy is still a statistics-dominated number. I think that you know, South Carolina, now the defense, they've got some good talent. Muschamp is a defensive guy. Wouldn't shock me if the Gamecocks were very good defensively. I'm pretty darn sure, Sturge, they are going to be good offensively. I think all the pieces are in place. I like the new up-tempo under Brian McClendon. So I think they might, even if they lose to Georgia, I think it could be a factor to where Bentley's just put in a position to really maybe put some stats up, and so much is put on his shoulders to where he's a guy that could sneak into that conversation over the first half of the season, more so than either of the two Clemson quarterbacks.
All right, again, you got three preseason games tonight, but Philadelphia Eagles are already in midseason form when it comes to trolling the opponent. This is flying above the Philadelphia Eagles stadium, the score of last year's Super Bowl.
If you look
now, you got a reason to watch that game tonight, don't you?
I refuse to look the post up. I didn't see the post. I think it might have just been the score as well, Sturge.
Says, first of all, somebody needs to, I would give New England Patriots fans credit that they could at least word it better. 41-33 Philly, Philadelphia, Super Bowl 52. Why'd you have to put Philly twice in a row? So, it's nice to see there's a reason to turn into that one tonight.
I'm trying to get you. Here it is. Somebody from Philadelphia, and I can't believe this company would allow this to happen in Boston, because they're usually better than this. Somebody rented a billboard right outside of Foxborough, like the main billboard outside of Gillette Stadium, the Patriots' home field. And it's got like I'm trying to look at it here. It's not blown up very big, but it's got World Champs, Go Birds, and it has various eagles on this giant billboard, which is, I guess, the most prominent billboard for fans to see as they're driving on that. There's only one way in, one way out to Foxborough, Sturge. It's one of the worst places to get to get out of, and you're going to see this big Philly billboard. How did the Boston people let this go down as far as we're not renting to you?
Well, I bet they rented it through somebody else. But number two, in this day and age, you also can be hard-pressed not to turn away money. But number three, apparently Chavez Ravine, home of the L.A. Dodgers, pretty difficult to get to. Did you see that story that some billionaire's about to build a 4-mile tunnel from like West Hollywood to the stadium?
No, I didn't see
that. Yeah. Well, first, that's why it's nice to be a billionaire.
Yes.
You can dream big like that. All right, here's the deal. We'll come back. We'll close up shop. Hear from Smoke on the Water. We'll get an update on how Eric Boynton's fish and chips are going here from Smoke on the Water. And, of course, if you got something quick, 844-GSP-ESPN. All right. All right, welcome back in. We are finishing up the day at Smoke on the Water. We'll be back here tomorrow, and then we'll hang out for our friend Mark Childress and the debut of Uncovered on Fox Carolina. We'll be featuring Smoke on the Water and Caviar and Bananas. And how was the black and red snapper here at Smoke on the Water?
Two thumbs up, and again, it is a little bit embarrassing to be out at kind of a smokehouse with all this wonderful brisket and these steaks and barbecue and everything else on here, and I'm going, let's try the blackened snapper. But no, really good, man. Good seasoning, good fries.
What kind of music do y'all play here? We play both kinds, country and western.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least we'll serve anybody here at Smoke. The smart guys and the Boyntons, okay?
Yeah. Hey, Kitchen, the seafood weirdos here again. You got room next to the brisket?
Again, we were talking about not renting that billboard out. Hey, listen, if you're a fish eater, we got plenty of stuff here on the menu for you.
We did. They got some great catfish, and I've tried the shrimp appetizer. It's wonderful.
Dip.
It's a spicy crab dip. Mm-hmm. A little jalapeno, great spice, and man, you sold me on these Sturge. We've had them a few times. The chicken wing. Normally, when you order chicken wings, they're not far off. They might be a little spicy.
It can be a hell of a lot of work for a whole little bit of meat.
Right, and these are big plump wings, and
it's just the whole wing of the bird.
And like I said, they don't give you the 18 flavors that most places do. This is kind of, is it a chipotle flavor? I forget, but whatever it is, it's a they just serve the one spice flavor. It's kind of unique to this place, so. Highly recommend them.
Yeah, a lot of fun here at Smoke on the Water. And, of course, they'll be open for you all weekend, but we'll be back here tomorrow night. All right, can I make fun of something on the way out? Do you see what West Virginia basketball gave their players from last year's basketball team?
I did not.
Almost the epitome of an everybody of the all-participation trophy. Everybody gets a trophy here. They gave them really nice Sweet 16 rings.
Week 16?
Sweet
16. I'm sorry.
That's my voice getting tired here at the end of the day. No, they put it up on the internet. Look at these killer rings. You know, Sweet 16. I can buy Final Four rings, all right?
Yeah, sure.
I just say championship, you know. I can buy Final Four would be a really cool thing in basketball. I want a Sweet 16 ring. I'd do something different. You know, you could do something that they could put out on their desk or something, but I'm not sure I'm out there sporting a Sweet 16 ring.
And if you're going to do it, you do it on the down low.
They took it to Twitter and got butchered for it.
If you're South Carolina or Clemson, I mean, South Carolina made it to the Final Four a few years ago, the first time ever. You know, if you're a school like Clemson.
Wholeheartedly.
You know what? And you want to go ahead and some of the players go – you know, if you've got a lot of returning players, you might say, nah, you know, we want to wait and try to go for the whole thing. It might just be a pride thing. But I don't have a problem with that. And so these guys, but not Elite Eight. Not, you got to get to the Final Four.
Yeah.
That's kind of getting to the promised land, even if you don't win the whole shebang.
Well, congratulations. You have now officially taken on the role of Duddy here on the show. I've always been funny, but now you're Duddy. All right, good news for Will Muschamp and the Gamecocks a little while ago. They got a commitment from a defensive back, DJ Daniel, out of Georgia Military Academy. He chose the Gamecocks over the Bulldogs and the Kentucky Wildcats. He is a four-star recruit. He'll have 2 years of eligibility left, but here's the deal. That's a nice pickup for Muschamp and the Gamecocks. Stop this stuff. Stop. Do it now while you're building your program, but you are not going to build long-term success off junior college transfers, because if this guy's four-star and he's as good as he may be a one-and-done guy, you know what I mean,
right,
in football. You fill the blanks where you need it at this point when you're 3 years in building the program, but after another year or so, unless it's just a really, really, really important, you know, somebody gets hurt, whatnot, most really long-term successful programs in college football right now are not dealing with junior college transfers.
No, I'd agree. You don't see any JUCOs coming into Clemson right now at all. I mean, at the football down there. Now, that's the way Brunel's having to go about the basketball team, though.
Know your identity.
And transfers and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree with you at all. You know, Muschamp's obviously doing a terrific job, both as a coach and as a recruiter over there. So, yeah, I'm with you. I can see next year or two, you're still
this
trying
to – This guy's talented. He's a
four-star.
You're still trying
to build. And I don't have any problem. Like I said, Clemson right now is just at a different level, so I'm not even saying that you were just asking to compare the two. But South Carolina, the next few years, if you want to take a guy or two that's talented here, plug them in, even if you only get them for a year, I'm still okay with it. But, yeah, but it's not the long-term solution. But, Sturge, they're getting enough four-year guys in there right now and doing a heck of a job there to where that doesn't bother me.
This is a good move.
Yes.
But here in the next couple of years to go from point A to point B, you aren't going to do it on junior college transfer talent. Number one, I'm not knocking it, but I've been around it. Go watch, you know, Last Chance U. Most of those guys are in junior college because they failed to complete things. You know what I mean? Whether it's your high. So I'm not saying you can't change, but I'm just saying there's a Now, in the long run, just don't build it. That's my point, because Bama won't do it. Clemson won't do it. Georgia, they were in on this guy. He's that talented. He's a four-star guy. But, again, congrats. That's a nice, nice pickup comes to DJ Daniel from down at Georgia Military
Academy. That he picked USC over finalist Kentucky, maybe he'll be the difference in getting it changed around over Kentucky.
And 24-7 had this pointed toward Georgia. Now, here's one of the things. I will take a longer look at a guy from Georgia Military Academy than I will from somewhere else, because you got to put up with all the military stuff when you're at that junior college, and that would help offset it. So, the military aspect when it comes to junior college, I think that does really good for those guys that don't get eligible for all the way for D1.
Absolutely. I'm sure that I know the kind of guy I am. I would not be able to hack it.
No.
But I'm sure for some of these guys that maybe just need a little bit of a kick in the butt, for lack of a better term, that's all they need is a little extra motivation, that they're smart enough, they're talented enough on the field.
People like me.
Yes.
All right, real quickly, you got 30 seconds. What you got coming up at the Spartanburg Herald Journal?
Well, the one thing I'll mention, Sturge, we're going to get hot and heavy back into, obviously, South Carolina and Clemson here after my home away from home with the Carolina Panthers. But if you could go online to go upstate, you could send away, stop by the Herald Journal building. But we've got a terrific high school preview tab. And what they did was they picked a featured player from each school and had an artist through the art department from that school depict them in a painting. We actually had an art show in downtown Spartanburg Fort last night, all tied in. So it's a melding of the art of local artists from the school and local players from the school.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
Have a great trip.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.